All right, everyone, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'd like to thank you for joining us today for Women and Technology Today's special session, Social Media, Learn It, Love It, Use It, plus a spotlight on WIP's new mobile app. I'm Jessica Davis, Senior Coordinator of Programs and Communications at Women Impacting Public Policy. As a brief background, Women Impacting Public Policy launched Women and Technology Today, or WOT, to help women business owners understand how technology will change the business environment and how to use it to their advantage. We provide resources and information, including a full range of webinar training sessions designed to build strategies to accelerate growth. Before we begin, I just have a few notes. We are recording this presentation, including the question and answer segment, and we'll make the podcast and the training materials available on the WOT website. During the first portion of this webinar, the presentation, we have muted the line so only our speakers can be heard. While you are listening, we've also put your phone on mute, especially if you are on a cell phone or speakerphone. Please do not put your phone on hold. If you need to step away, please hang up and call back. To better view the presentation, I recommend entering full screen mode, which you can do by clicking the full screen button in the upper right-hand corner of the presentation box. If you have any questions for our instructor, please feel free to send it immediately through the chat function, which is also on the right side of your screen. You can open the chat box by selecting View Chat. You will also be able to ask your question during the question and answer segment at the end of the training. Those of you new to WIP will receive information by email later today about your WIP membership and how to get started. So now, on to the program. Today's training session will explore how to best use social media to your business's advantage and find out how the new WIP mobile app makes it easier for you to stay up to date with the policy that affects you. WIP thanks AT&T for making the WIP mobile application possible. I am very pleased to introduce today's course instructor, Marissa Smith. Since her early days of playing office and basement, Marissa has been assessed creating processes and automating repetitive tasks. Marissa worked at the University of Michigan for several years, helping administrative offices solve their paper problems by designing web-based electronic solutions, and decided to strike out on her own in 2002 so she could help even more people. Marissa is the founder and president of the Whole Brain Group, which specializes in WordPress web design and development, social media coaching and training, and mobile application development, including WIP mobile app we're discussing today. Marissa is the social media co-chair of the Communications Council and a member of the Executive Advisory Board for Women Impacting Public Policy. She also sits on boards of the Small Giants Community, the Washtenaw County Chapter of the American Red Cross, and the Ann Arbor Regional Chapter, Regional Chamber. So without any further delay, Marissa, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Jessica. It's really a pleasure to be here today. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. As Jessica said, I'm here to talk today about social media in general and the WIP mobile app specifically. And so let's get started here. I think I need to actually skip a couple of these slides because everybody knows what WIP is, hopefully. So, first we're to just go through the agenda here. We're going to talk about the use of social media in general, and I'm also going to highlight some specific tools, popular tools like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, so that people can see how businesses are using those tools to help promote themselves, and also how you can use those tools to help promote your business's involvement in public policy. Then we're going to go through the new WIP mobile app so that you can see what some of the functionality is and how you can use that to stay on top of public policy and spread the word with social media. And again, show how you can stay in touch with the news items and policy updates and share those with friends. So a lot of people come to us, they say, you know, we want to get on social media, but we don't know why. Everybody's told me that my business should be on social media, but I really don't get it. And so we spend a lot of time here in our company explaining to people what the point is of social media. For businesses, it is a little bit different than it is for general, you know, people who are consumers or just using it for personal use. But for people who own businesses or are, you know, high level or marketing people or anything like that, you can use it in very specific ways to share information about your company to establish expertise in your area of industry. But the main thing that we use it for really is building relationships between people and other companies. The nice thing with social media is that you can really use it to establish dialogue with people that you normally wouldn't be able to contact. So people who wouldn't necessarily come right out and talk to you about whether or not they had a positive experience with your company or whether or not they liked the book that you wrote or whatever, they wouldn't, you know, call you up and tell you that, but they will send you a tweet or send you a message through LinkedIn, because there's a certain amount of, I guess, anonymity there that will break down some of those barriers and allow you to establish relationships with people that you maybe normally wouldn't come into contact with in everyday life. And I'll give you a couple of examples when we get into the LinkedIn section of some interesting stories that I've got from clients and how they've been able to establish relationships like that. The other thing is that because people are on social media specifically to get information, you typically aren't annoying people by giving them information. So in other arenas, you know, if you're sending email to people every single day, people can sometimes get irritated by that type of marketing because, you know, they're using their email to do their daily business. And if you're kind of intruding on that with email marketing, sometimes people just delete that stuff. Whereas if they're in the mood to look for information, they've kind of already put themselves in the mindset that they're out there looking for webinars to attend, articles to read, and all that. So if you're posting information in those arenas and people are already in the mood to be receptive, you've got a much more higher likelihood of people clicking on things that you've posted and getting exposed to the things that you're trying to get out there. So in that way, you know, using social media to market your products and services, it's acceptable. People are expecting you to do that. You know, you have to be a little bit careful in different channels about how you do that, because there are definitely some unwritten rules on LinkedIn versus Facebook versus Twitter, and we're going to go through some of those as well. So there are bunch of different tools out there, but the three I'm going to focus on today are really Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Each of those requires you to have an account. Twitter, you can actually search what people are tweeting about and read things without having an account, but if you want to actually participate in the conversation, then you do need to have your own Twitter account. Facebook as well, you need to have an account, and LinkedIn also. So we're going to start by talking about Facebook. You know, most people think of Facebook as the place where you go to find your old high school sweetheart or to, you know, talk to people about the latest Dancing with the Stars episode or whatever. But in reality, there's a lot of business that goes on Facebook, not only with business-to-consumer type relationships, but also B2B. The best way to get yourself established there is to set up something called a Facebook page. And if you do that, then your business can post status updates, and people who are following your business, who have become a fan of your business, will see those updates as part of their, you know, daily news feed that they get. And so they can just kind of passively engage with your company, and if they want to actively engage by commenting on something that you are posting, they can do that as well. So it's really good for getting the word out about your business. PR releases can go there. If you're having contests, if you have customers who maybe are looking for another channel for customer service, a lot of businesses are using their Facebook fan pages for that as well. From the side of WIP, too, WIP has its own group. And a group is a little bit different in that there's kind of a membership component. But WIP can then use that to post information out to people who are members of the group and interact with them. But again, people kind of choose to do that because they've decided, okay, it's the end of the day, or oh, it's lunchtime, and I'm going to get into Facebook and relax a little bit, and I want to see what's going on with these other things that I'm interested in. So it's a little bit more of a opt-in type of thing. So let's take a look real quick here at what a Facebook page looks like. So this is a business's Facebook page, our business, and we're using this to engage with our customers. What we're able to do is, you know, because we're a web development company, we actually have some decent graphics that we can highlight on our page here. And so we post things like screenshots of websites that we've done, screenshots of mobile applications that we've created, and that kind of thing. And we'll post those things to our Facebook page. And we have about 200 fans right now, and hopefully at the end of this we'll have 228 because everybody will go out and fan our page. But those people who are fans of our page, when they log into Facebook, they automatically will see the things that we have posted. And so they don't have to think to, go to the Whole Brain Group website and see what news is happening. They just get it as part of what they're seeing along with their friends' status updates and various other things. The other nice thing that we've done with a lot of our clients and our own site is that our website is set up so that when we post news to the website, it automatically posts to our Facebook page, and so we don't actually have to do an extra step here. It just automatically happens. So if you have a website that has like an RSS feed coming out of it, you can very easily set that up and have things automatically post there. What you're also seeing here is that people can engage with your posts, and they can press the like button, and when they like a post, then other people in their network will see that they like the post, and that can help spread the word about what it is your company is doing. They can comment on a post, so they can say, hey, my cousin wants to be a WordPress web developer, you know, I'll tell them to contact you. And what's nice is if somebody comments on one of your posts, your company's posts, you will get an email about that. And so you'll know when a customer is engaging with your business and saying something about you. And you can go in there and talk back with them and solve their problem or accept their compliment and say thank you or whatever. So we have a customer who has a lot of students as clients. And those students are on Facebook anyways, and so if they're having a problem with the product that our client produces, they're probably going to complain about it on Facebook. And if our company, the client, was not aware of what was going on, they wouldn't be able to respond to that. So it's very important that if you are going to be on social media, you monitor what's going on and respond. So the way WIP uses this is similar. You know, they post webinar announcements, events. If you use Facebook for events, people can RSVP right on Facebook, and when they do that, then everybody else who's friends with them will see that they're attending an event, and people may say, oh, I wonder what that event is, and click and respond to it. So again, it's a very good way to spread the word. So most people are on Facebook typically as a way to kind of escape everyday life. They're you know, eating lunch and looking at what's going on Facebook. They're stuck in the car while their kids at soccer practice and they're looking at what's on Facebook. They're watching TV and looking at it. So you tend to see high points during certain time periods of the day, and people typically are in the mood to not think about work when they're on Facebook. So the types of businesses that really succeed on Facebook are those that have a broader appeal. If you're marketing specifically to like the Marine Corps, I'm not sure that Facebook is the best place to market your business. But if you're marketing to individual people or a constituency such as consumers or whatever, then you may have more success there. LinkedIn, however, is specifically for making professional connections. When it started out, it was really kind of an online Rolodex and resume building site where you could just keep everything in one place and tell people, hey, if you want to find out about me and my professional life, you go to LinkedIn. But in the last year or so, it's really expanded to be a little more Facebook-like, and so people are using it to post professional status updates there, saying things like, hey, my company is hiring, or we're proud to announce that our website has just been redone, or we just won this great big contract and we're hiring 100 people. It's kind of like a Christmas letter, but for professional good news, where, you know, when you're writing your Christmas letter, you just say all the great things that happened to you that year. It's similar to that. You typically don't want to complain about things or be down on yourself or your industry when you're on LinkedIn, because it kind of reflects negatively on you as a professional. You'd be surprised, though, about how many people I see that treat their status updates as though they're on Facebook. although they're actually on LinkedIn. And so it's very important to kind of separate those two. You don't want to post about the Bachelor premiere on LinkedIn, whereas you might post something like that on Facebook and kind of have a little more of a casual public persona on Facebook versus LinkedIn. The other nice thing with LinkedIn is there's both a professional personal component, but there's also a professional company component. And so I'm going to show you that here on the next slide. You can have a company profile on LinkedIn, and it's, you know, some companies are actually kind of using this as their mini website because they don't have a need or a budget for a larger site. And this can provide very basic information for people, such as an overview of your services. You can see here who's recently been hired at our company because they've identified themselves as an employee of our company on LinkedIn. We have Twitter hooked into our company profile, so all of our tweets show up here. Our recent blog posts from our website also show up here. And we can also post products and services that our company provides as well, and then ask people for recommendations for those products and services. So it can be a very nice way of promoting your company, and many people are using LinkedIn as a way to kind of research people that they want to do business with. And so if they go into LinkedIn and you have kind of a lame profile with no recommendations and no description of your company and nobody, it looks like nobody works for you, that can negatively affect people's view of your company. It really is a very common tool these days. Likewise, when people are interviewing for jobs, they frequently go to LinkedIn and check out people's profiles and see what people are saying about them and, you know, how fleshed out their profile is. When it comes to public policy, you know, I will actually frequently repost things that WIP has posted to Twitter or Facebook, or when they have a new article, I'll go in and put my status update as, you know, hey, there's this new legislation and you should support it. Because there are people in my network that do care about women-owned businesses and may care about what's going on legislatively. And so I use that, my professional status update, as a way to get the word out about things that WIP is doing. Next slide. So Twitter is the other big popular tool for communicating with social media. And Twitter is what people refer to as a microblog. And the reason for that is because you're limited to 140 characters when you tweet. And the nice thing about that is it really forces you to be succinct and communicate, you know, very specific information in a short short frame. But what you can also do is provide links to other, to websites, to your blog, and that kind of thing. So you can actually drive traffic to your website and increase its search engine ranking by using social media to post interesting links and content that you're providing to people. So, you know, in many ways, people are using it to promote their own companies, but they're also using it to learn about what other people are doing. So many people are posting articles that they've written or interesting blog posts that they've found that I frequently will use Twitter to go research what people are saying about a particular topic and, you know, use it as a resource that way. Also, because there are so many people on Twitter, you can actually post questions and say, you know, to your the people who are following you, you know, I'm looking to go to this conference. Does anybody have any experience with it? Is it worth it? And people will write back to you and say, absolutely, it's worth it, or no, don't bother spending the $1,000 on it. So you can, again, engage with people who normally you wouldn't be able to have access to. WIP, again, uses it as yet another channel for promoting the things that they're posting on their website and helping spread the word about events that they're having or legislation that's important to us. And so if you follow WIP on Twitter, you can see what it is that WIP is posting, and you can then see that post and basically do what's called retweeting, which says to everybody who follows you that you're reposting content and everybody will see that. It's this kind of echo effect that happens. This is a Twitter screen, and what you're seeing here is I'm logged in as one of my employees here, Kyle, and these are the people that Kyle is following. I'm going to turn the little red dot on here. So all of these people, Kyle has said, you know, I'm following them because I'm interested in the types of things that these people are tweeting about. And he tends to follow people who are, you know, social media gurus or interested in web development, new media consulting, that kind of thing. You might be following people who are experts in your field of, you know, marketing or defense or that kind of thing. So when you see something that somebody has posted that is interesting, you can just click on it and say, I want to repost this to other people because I want to show my interest in this. And so Kyle here has all of these people following him. And if he reposts this content, all of the people following him will see it. There's a lot more to Twitter than this. I actually teach a 3-hour class on it, and so people think it's very simple because it's, you know, how hard can it be? It's only 140 characters. But there's a lot of strategy that goes into using Twitter to your advantage. So there's a lot more to it than that, but this is kind of the high-level overview. I'm going to catch up. There's a few questions being asked here. I want to try to work in here. Okay, so people are asking how is Facebook different than tweeting? The difference between a Facebook status update and tweeting is that, first of all, the length. So Facebook can be, I think it's up to almost 300 or 400 characters, so you can get a lot of content in there, whereas Twitter, you have to keep it to 140 characters. The other difference is that on Facebook, if you change your status, the only people who can see that are people that you've actively said you are friends with. So if somebody has said, you know, hey, Bonnie, I want to be your friend, and you say back, yes, I accept your friend request, there's a two-way relationship there that nobody else can see the conversation going on between the two of you because you are friends with each other. On Twitter, you can follow anybody you want. They don't have to say back that they allow you to follow them. And so, vice versa, anybody can follow you, and you don't have to approve them as a follower. So the upside to that, like I said before, is that you can really increase the reach of your message because there are people following me that I've never met before. And they're following me because of the things that I post about and the fact that I'm in an industry that they're interested in. And so, you know, I can engage with people who I've never personally met, whereas on Facebook and LinkedIn, you tend to have a personal relationship with the people you're linked with. So hopefully that's helpful. Somebody else is asking here if there's a way to link your Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter pages so you only have to post to one. Yes, there are tools out there that do allow you to post in one place and have it go everywhere. You want to be a little bit careful about that because, again, there are kind of different etiquette rules in each channel. And so my rule of thumb is if you wouldn't want it to be overheard in the elevator, then don't post it everywhere. So, you know, typically if you're posting something on LinkedIn, it could also go on Facebook and Twitter, and that's fine because it's a professional message. But if you're posting something like, hey, I can't believe so-and-so just got voted off Survivor, you know, you may not want that posted to your LinkedIn profile because, again, that's really a very professional environment. So you just need to be very careful about using those tools. They can be convenient, but they can cause problems. In fact, there's a number of horror stories circulating out there on the Internet about people who have accidentally posted something about their boss that they thought was only going to Facebook, and, in fact, it ended up on their LinkedIn status and that sort of thing, so you need to be a little bit careful. What we typically recommend is using your website as the center of your social media universe because anything you post to your website is typically appropriate for all of your different channels. And so if you think of the website as the center, pushing that content out to the other channels, then that's a pretty safe bet. I could go on and on. I teach 10 hours worth of classes on this stuff, so I'm trying to keep myself short and sweet here. So the other aspect of social media here is that many, many, many people access social media from their mobile devices. Because it is this time passer for many people, you know, I used the example before of, you know, you're stuck in the car at your kid's soccer practice, or you're waiting in the doctor's office or whatever. That's typically when people pull their phones out and look at Facebook or look at LinkedIn and see what's going on in their networks. And if you see a link while you're, if you're on your phone and you see somebody posted a link to a website and you click on that link and that website is hard to look at in your mobile phone, many people will get frustrated and, you know, kind of get lost then because the site that they're trying to look at is not mobile friendly. So more and more businesses now are considering whether or not their website is mobile friendly to look at because of how much, you know, effort they're putting into social media. And then, you know, if people try to access it and get frustrated, it's kind of a waste of time. So that's something to consider if you're looking at using social media is, you know, if you're trying to drive traffic back to your website, will people be able to look at your website when you drive traffic back to it with a mobile device? Additionally, there are other types of social media that we're not going to get into here today, but you should be aware of that are more location-based. So, you know, if you have a storefront or a restaurant or something like that, people are using social media to check in at locations, and when they check in at, you know, Applebee's or whatever, they'll get a little message on their phone that says, hey, you can get 15% off here at Applebee's because you just checked in. So there's a lot of apps like that that are kind of encouraging people to say that they're at a location and share that information on social media to try to build buzz about the business. So a lot of people are doing that as well. So this brings us to the WIP mobile app. The WIP mobile app iPhone version was released, I think, on Friday to the iTunes Store, and the BlackBerry version should be available any day now. What we're going to look at today is the iPhone app because it's available. And so when you get all excited about this, you can go download it after the webinar. The mobile app was created because we wanted a way to have easy access to news and events and action alerts and those types of things in order to be able to communicate with WIP members easily and allow WIP members to share that information as well. So we wanted to do an interactive demo here, but we were having some technical difficulties with the conferencing tool here, so I'm just going to have to do this with screenshots, and you'll have to use your imaginations and view the YouTube video after this to see the interactive part. But this, once you download the mobile app from the iTunes Store and install it on your phone, you're presented with a screen here of all of the latest news headlines from the WIP website. The screenshot's a couple days old, but what you're seeing here is the different categories of news. So a headline, and then you can see the category is members in the news or coalition partner news, et cetera. So you can pretty quickly discern the difference between the different headlines. When you click on one of those or tap on one of those headlines, you're then presented with the detail of that news article. So you can read right there what the details are about that headline. And again, there are links out to emailing people or additional information on other websites. All of that stuff is active right from the app. So you can really quickly be up on the latest headlines of things that WIP is talking about, which is great. Additionally, you can click on this little share button up here. And when you do that, you're presented with an option to email the link to the article to somebody in your network. So you can very quickly share a link with other people. Next up, we also have a list of events. And so if you want to know what type of training or conferences or various other events are interesting to WIP members, there's an events calendar here under the Events tab. And again, if you click on one of the details, you can quickly get to more information and usually a link to register for the event as well. I'm going to skip over the action button just for a second. On the engage icon here, you just have really quick links to the WIP website, to call WIP headquarters, email them, et cetera. And if you click on this Twitter link here, it actually shows the Twitter feed from the WIP Twitter account. And this takes you to a quick right to the Facebook group so you can join it, or right to the LinkedIn group so you can see what's going on. So just really quickly, you can get connected with WIP and various social media. So once again, this is the WIP iPhone app. And what you're seeing here is all of the latest blog posts from the WIP blog. And so all of these things are posts that Jessica and Krista and the great people at WIP have put together to get information out. So again, all of these things are available on the WIP website, but this is a mobile-friendly format that if you're stuck in the doctor's office, you can very quickly cruise around and see what the latest news and information is from WIP. Okay, so finally, this is an example of an action alert. So for new WIP members, I'm not sure how many of you are aware of this, and for existing WIP members, frequently there are legislative items that come up where WIP wants us to take action about something. They want us to call our congresswoman or write a letter or do something like that. And so when that happens, they quickly want to mobilize people and tell them, hey, there's something really important going on. You need to know about it. So we came up with this idea of having a push notification. And what that means is, your phone has to be on and the app has to be installed. And when something exciting happens, WIP can push a notification to your phone. And if it's on vibrate, it'll vibrate. If the sound is on, it'll ding. And you'll look at your phone and see that there's something new that happened. And you tap on this, and it takes you right to the phone, to the WIP iPhone app, where it'll tell you more details about what the action alert is. We don't have an example of that because this just came out, and there hasn't been anything that requires a lot of action yet. But when it happens, that's the plan. And so WIP can very quickly mobilize members who have installed this app and get us all to do something like calling our congresswomen or writing letters. So just down to the last couple of slides here. So hopefully you can see that the mobile app is going to be a very easy way to stay connected with WIP. And we have other features planned for the future, too, that will make this even more social media enabled. But for the first version, what's really available is kind of these quick feeds from the news and events and blog and the action alerts, which will really help get everybody organized at the same time. If you're interested in developing a social media strategy for your own company, we recommend a few things. Social media can be very valuable and have a great return on investment for you, but it can also be a huge time sink if you're not careful, because there are so many things that you can read and get interested in, and you have to be very careful about how you spend your time. It's just like networking events. You could spend all day going to every single networking event that is at the chamber and at the the local WPO and NABO and all these other things, and you'd never get any work done. So it's kind of the same way with social media. You have to measure what channels are working for you and decide what to spend your time on. And so we recommend doing things like installing Google Analytics on your website and checking how much traffic is coming from Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and the other social media channels you're participating in, so that you make sure you're focusing on the things that really are bringing you the most traffic to your website or the most leads that are turning into sales and that kind of thing. We do recommend kind of listening and learning before jumping right in. You can absolutely go create accounts, but we do recommend that you kind of find some people that you think where you think they're doing it the right way, and observe and ask questions, and maybe find somebody a class to take or something like that, so that you don't end up making a faux pas. You don't have to be too scared about it, but it is easy to go down the wrong path or spend time on stuff that isn't valuable for your business. So we do recommend talking to people who are doing this and trying to learn from them. All right. So the takeaways from this are, again, that social media is a really good way to get the word out about your business or your organization, to build relationships between people. And again, to really learn about what's going on in your industry. Particularly with Twitter, you can very quickly search for trends, keywords that people are talking about, and kind of see what the hot topics are of the day. So it's a very good way to kind of have your finger on the pulse of your industry. And again, a lot of people are using this to drive business directly by, you know, if you do things like having paid training seminars or that sort of thing, you can very easily promote those and get people to register, get people to fill out contact forms, and drive business that way. And this is my contact information. So we've got question and answer now. Jessica, would you like me to answer some of the questions that are flying along the screen here? Or?
Yeah, thank you so much, Marissa. So it looks like there are those a handful more questions that have come in. I would like to invite everyone on our call, if you do have a question, to please go ahead and submit it through the public chat. We'll get through as many questions as we have time to. It looks like the next question that had come in was in regard to how do you create your own mobile app?
Yes, and actually I saw a question right before that from Lindsay that I think I skipped over before, I apologize, which was for your business outreach to clients, which would you recommend putting more effort into, LinkedIn or Facebook? And I would say everybody, absolutely everybody, can benefit from having a LinkedIn company profile and a LinkedIn professional profile. So if you're going to start somewhere, start there, because you can't go wrong with having a LinkedIn profile. Not all businesses are right for Facebook, though, because, again, you have to consider your audience. For us, we are a business. We sell to other businesses, but the businesses we sell to you know, are owned by people who hang out on Facebook. And so for us, you know, because we're doing kind of interesting things in social media and websites, it doesn't appear to be too annoying to people to post things about our business to our networks, and people are interested in that. But I think if you're doing something very specialized, like, you know, you develop medical devices or something like that, it might be harder to have a Facebook fan page for something specific like that, or, you know, an unmanned aerial vehicle or whatever. You know, having a Facebook fan page for that probably is not the best way to go. But you could have a LinkedIn group for people who, you know, develop, you know, defense technology or you know, alternative energy or something like that, and you could mobilize people around a specific cause and get word out about your business that way. So, you know, it really depends. Typically, I'd want to hear a little bit more about what your business is to make the right recommendation, but definitely you can't go wrong with LinkedIn. Let's see. So the next question was about how do you go about creating your own app. You find somebody who develops apps like ourselves, or you, if you're a programmer, you can buy a iPhone Apps for Dummies book and try to figure it out yourself. Typically, you have to figure out what you want the app to do, and so typically that takes a design phase where you kind of figure all that out, and then you have a graphic designer come up with how you want it to look, and you have a developer do all the nerdy stuff and put it all together. One thing to keep in mind is that there are multiple platforms. So there's iPhone, there's BlackBerry, there's tablets now, there's the Motorola Zoom, there's, you know, the Galaxy, blah, 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 and there's Android. So if you're going to do this, you have to decide if you're going to develop for multiple platforms or if you're going to start with just iPhone and then see how it goes from there. It can be very expensive to develop for multiple platforms. This is not a $5 project to do a mobile app. So it is something that you need to take seriously and put money into to do. But when you do, you can have, you know, very positive results, and some people are doing it as a way to get the word out about their businesses and organizations, and other people are doing it as a way to provide their customers with mobile access to data. So we have a client who just developed an iPad app for college students who want to be able to look at course material on an iPad in class. And so this is their way of, you know, delivering content to mobile devices so that people can work more efficiently, and that sort of thing. So it just depends on what your business is. But if you want to contact me, I'd be happy to talk to you. let's see. Skype?
Great, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was another one.
Do you recommend Skype as another good source of social media? You know, Skype is really more of a communication tool for, like, conference calls or, you know, communicating one-on-one, you know, not using a phone. So it's not the same kind of viral thing that Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and LinkedIn have more of this network aspect to it. You know, I guess some people may use Skype that way, but it's definitely more of a one-on-one communication tool, I think, more than anything else. How much time do you spend per day to monitor and update the sites? It seems time-consuming. Yes. So, you know, I spend about an hour or probably about an hour a day. It's what I do when I drink my coffee in the morning. It's what I do when I am eating lunch, and it's what I do at the end of the day or while I'm watching Dancing with the Stars or whatever. So, you know, I have mobile apps on my phone for all of these different social networks, and so, you know, while my child is asleep in the car, I will frequently look at my Facebook or my LinkedIn and see what people are up to. It's just kind of become part of my world. But this is, of course, what I do for a living, so it's a little bit different than maybe for other people. We actually have some clients who pay us to monitor stuff for them because it can be so time-consuming. If your company is very popular and if your customer service is being done through social media, it's very important that you have somebody monitoring what's going on and able to respond. And so there are companies like ours or, you know, you can teach somebody at your company to do this if they have the time and the marketing brain to do it. So there's a number of different approaches to that, but it really depends on the scope of how many people are following you and how often you're mentioned and what your customers are saying about you. So,
great, thank you. I think that our last question we're going to have time to get to is this second one from Lindsay G. What will be the difference with the BlackBerry app, or are the features relatively consistent from the iPhone?
Thanks, I missed that one before. Yes, the features are very similar. In fact, I don't think there are any differences, are there? No. Bonnie's telling me no, there are no differences between them. So, you know, obviously it looks a little bit different because it's a BlackBerry versus an iPhone. The screen's a little bit smaller on the BlackBerries, but the features are the same.
Yeah, thank you so much, Marissa. I just want to let everyone know that if you do have more questions, you see Marissa's contact information up on the screen, and you can also send an email to me at jdavis@wip.org, and I'd be more than happy to pass it along. Thank you so much, Marissa, for your outstanding presentation, and thank you to everyone on the line for joining us and participating on this call. I hope that you found the information helpful. If you have any additional questions, as I mentioned, please feel free to contact Marissa or myself, and we'd be more than happy to take care of that. As Marissa mentioned, the iPhone app is now available and can be downloaded from iTunes, and the BlackBerry app will be released any day now. This call will be posted on the program's website, womenandtechnologytoday.com, under the Resources tab. And please also look to womenandtechnologytoday.com to register for upcoming training sessions. Again, if you're new to WIP, you will be receiving information later today about your 3-month membership. Also, your feedback is very important to us. Please take a moment to share your thoughts on the brief feedback survey that will accompany the presentation links sent to you via email. WOT is part of a larger program series from WIP, Women, Money, and Opportunity, which brings resources and a wealth of knowledge from experts within the WIP community to educate women business owners. WIP is a nonprofit, nonpartisan public policy organization representing your interests in Washington, D.C. And also, WIP would like to thank at this time AT&T for making the WIP mobile applications possible. If you would like more information on WIP, please let me know. Thank you again, Marissa, and thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thanks, Jessica. Thank you, everybody.